And as you got bigger towns,
people that have children about my age,
there's more
younger.
Inspectors.
What do you have?
I scared them, which is supposed to fit, fit.
But on the open house, open house, that's the stats.
Some towns got, the towns they don't look at anymore. I do say on a long time, they say, sure, it's a cost.
Joint marriage, still joint marital assets. So there are trade-offs that, for anything you do, as a trade-off of things that.
They said, I need one.
If you're then, what if your son gets in a major car accident?
You gotta talk somebody else, I don't know what you're talking about.
Can you put one on your house?
I wasn't, I was carrying a bag.
On her house? If her son gets sued?
If her, if.
Well, I, when my husband died, I put my.
The son owns it, I guess.
I see.
So there's a lot of things to think about there. So, but that could be remedied with the insurance, just with some new things that we need to talk about that this week.
Okay.
Yes, well, man.
Hey.
I will.
Hi, how you doing, I'm sorry, is time to begin?
Well, yeah.
Yeah?
I think we'll.
I don't know if that was a good decision.
So, yeah. Yeah, that'd be good. Here's the next spot.
And all three of those names.
Most.
My son, who's also in financial planning, helped me to do some things as far as, and, you know, case of end time. He helped me, he said the best thing to do is to establish a trust. And so that's why it's a good reason.
Good evening, everyone. Our first song selection this evening, All Things Praise Thee. This is song four, or rather it's song 25. I was already looking ahead to the next song. This is song number 25 for anyone following along in our hymnals. All Things Praise Thee, number 25.
All things praise thee, Lord Most High, heaven and earth and sea and sky. All were for thy glory made, that thy greatness thus displayed. Should all worship bring to thee, all things praise thee, Lord, may we. All things praise thee, night to night, sings in silent hymns of light. All things praise thee day by day, chants thy power in burning ray. Time and space are praising thee, all things praise thee, Lord, may we. All things praise thee, heaven's high shrine rings with melody divine. Lowly bending at thy feet, seraph and archangel meet. This their highest bliss to be, ever praising, Lord, may we.
The song that we will sing before we're led in our opening prayer this evening, My Jesus, As Thou Wilt. This is song 433 for anyone following along in our hymn books. My Jesus, As Thou Wilt. This is song 433, and after this song, we'll go to God in prayer.
My Jesus, as Thou wilt, through Lord, thy will be done. My Jesus, as thou wilt, if need be, hear it more. Give me thy people's bread, their portion rich and sure.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you again thankful for this opportunity to be together, to worship you. Father, we pray that you will look over those of our number that are not feeling their best, that are needing your healing touch. Be with them, help them to recover, help them to get through their therapies, help them to be able to join us at the next meeting times. Father, as we go through this service, help us to listen and understand, help us to bring your word to the community. Help us to reach out for those folks that need assistance from time to time and show them that there is a church in town that cares and wants to be there for them and help them. Father, we have many in our community that don't always know the word that we preach, that we teach. We pray that you will help us to find a way to get out there and let your word be known through our community. Father, as we go through this service, be with us, guide, guard, and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Our next song selection this evening, Shall We Gather at the River? This is song 570 for anyone that's following in our hymnals. Shall We Gather at the River? Song 570.
Shall we gather at the river, where bright angel feet have trod, with its crystal tide forever flowing by the throne of God? Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river, gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. River, lay me every the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Soon will reach the shining river. Soon our pilgrimage will cease. Soon our happy hearts will quiver with the melody of peace. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. At the smiling of the river, mirror of the Savior's face, saints whom death will never sever lift their songs of saving grace. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God.
If you would at this time mark our song of encouragement that we'll sing later this evening. That number is 517. Oh, why not tonight? That's an encouragement hymn that we'll sing later this evening. 517, oh, why not tonight? Once you have that song marked, the song that we will sing prior to this evening's lesson is entitled Thy Word, and the number in our books is 895. Thy Word, song 895. After this, we'll share together the Word of God.
Thy Word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid, I think I've lost my way. Still, you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will not forget your love for me, and yet I'll forever be wandering. Jesus, be my guide, hold me to your side. I will love you to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
There's a lot of questions in life about what is my purpose, why am I here? And I think for Christians, there's some definite answers for us to define this and look at this as why we are here and living for God. There's a lot of good questions, a lot of good answers. Why did Jesus come? I mean, there are multiple answers for this, but to simplify it, maybe just to say Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He came to die on the cross and to be raised to life. That's how he came, to seek and to save the lost. We know that he came for many other reasons, to teach us about God, teach us how to live, and so on. But these are the two probably defining reasons. So what about us? Why are we here? Well, we're here to be the light of the world. And I'm talking about Christians again. Those that have decided to follow God and to be with him is to be that light of the world, and to prepare us to live eternally for God. I think that our purpose, once we become Christians, is to prepare us to live for God. and to prepare others to live for God. So as we look at this tonight, Paul gives us some, in some of the scriptures we're going to look at tonight, some kind of difficult answers, but answers that I think that we need to consider so that we can consider how we can better live in this world through it all. In 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 11, we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. Paul says, I want you to know what we've gone through. And tonight, one of the passages we're not going to look at is in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul lists so many of the things that he went through. But throughout the readings of tonight, we're going to look at some of these things that Paul went through and what was the end result for him as he dealt with that. He goes on to say, we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Do you ever feel that kind of pressure in your life, where you feel like things are just, how am I going to get through this? How am I going to do this? How am I going to deal with life on this level that I'm dealing with in my life? Paul said that, of course, we know that they went through a lot of persecutions, like he talked about hardships that they suffered. And for Paul to say, it seemed like it was beyond our ability to bear. And I think we can say that, honestly, that is so true for us. Because there are things sometimes that just like, how could I can't do this. But God can with us. It seems like sometimes we despair even of life. But with God, we can do these things. Indeed, Paul says, going on to say, we felt the sentence of death. Now, this was before Paul was arrested. This was before Paul was imprisoned. This is while he was, you know, going about and preaching the gospel, that these things he felt. He felt the sentence of death. Not that God was going to cause him to die, but that many times, remember one time he was even stoned and taken out, and you know the people came over him and they brought him back to life, basically. And so Paul felt this sentence of dealing with life and death in his life. In verse 9 he goes on to say, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Here's the key, is depending upon God. God can raise the dead. Did he? Of course he did, through Jesus Christ. Did he raise other people from the dead? Yes, but he raised Jesus, and that's our proof that we can have hope beyond this life, that this life is not all that there is. We not rely upon ourselves, but upon God. And it's easy to rely upon ourselves. Rely upon ourselves to solve the problem, to solve the issue, to get through it. But when we rely upon God, we know that we can do it. He says, He, God, has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. Have you experienced, haven't you, that you've had something really difficult in your life, and you've gotten through it? You came through on the other side. Well, what's that going to do to prepare you for the next time? You're going to be able to handle it better, right? Because God helped you through it one time, you know God is going to help you through it again. And so when we have deal with these things in our lives, we know that we're not alone, that God is there to help us. On Him we have set our hope that He will continue to deliver us. Three times He said that, right? You got that in the same context. He delivered us, He will deliver us, He will continue to deliver us. In other words, God is not going to leave us alone. If God is for me, who can be against me, right? Amen. God will deliver us. And we can know that. We can know that He has and that He will. In verse 11, as you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Now, a part of God working in our lives is that we pray for one another. Paul said, you helped us with your prayers. You did this. You made it possible for God to be involved in our lives and to deliver us in our lives. So when we pray for one another, when we pray for those that are sick, when we pray for those that have struggles in life, we need to remember that we're praying as a serve, as a part of God's work in their lives with faith. We're to pray with faith that God will bring these things about. And on behalf of the gracious favor granted us, see, God grants, answers prayers. And if we remember that God answers prayers, then when we pray for one another, that's a part of the delivering of God working in our lives. Let's go on to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. Are jars of clay breakable?
Yes.
Yeah, very much so. They're breakable and you can shatter them. One time I preached a sermon and I was going to illustrate this, so I took a quart jar and I put it in a gunny sack and I was going to break it. Do you think I'd get that jar to break? No. I should have got a jar of clay instead of a glass quart jar. But quart jars are breakable, believe me. Maybe not quart jars or not so much. But in other words, our bodies are the breakable jars. That we are breakable. And that the treasure is in those jars. Not in us, but in God. To show that the all-surpassing power is from God. Not the power is not in us. The power is not in the outer shelling, other outer shell of our clay that we have. And it's not from us, as he goes on to say in the text. The power is from God and not from us. Can we get that down in our heads and in our hearts? That the power that God has working is not about me. It's about him. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Now look at, think about this. And this is the same context that we're talking about here, this jar of clay. Paul says we are hard-pressed. We're not crushed, though. Perplexed, but not in despair. Paul had some very difficult, trying, depressing times sometimes in his life. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. God, Paul said this, life is hard. Life is hard. Remember, we're talking about the overall context of what we're talking about. Why are we here? We're here that no matter what we're going through in life, to know and to recognize that God is with us and that God is greater than our trials. That God is greater than the trials and the difficulties that we face in life. Whether it's health trials, whether it's money trials, whether it's, you could name it, whatever it might be. God is there. We are always carrying around in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. Now, I really struggle sometimes. I've struggled with this passage sometimes, this part of it, that we carry around the death of Jesus. How do we carry around the death of Jesus? What happened when Jesus died? Where did he go? He died on the cross. What did Jesus tell us to do? He told us to take up the cross daily and follow him. I believe it's talking about that we must face the idea that we can die physically, that we can die all the things that Jesus did around. But that's not the life. We die to sin, we die to the world, but we live in Christ. The life of Christ is revealed in our bodies. That's what the world needs to see. That's what God wants to see in us. That no matter all these things we've been talking about that we go through, that still Jesus is there for us and that we can be seen, that Christ can be seen in us. Not that we can be seen, but that Christ can be seen in us. Just think about this. If you were around Paul when he was going through these different trials, and he's struggling through them, working through them, but he continued to turn back and trust God in them, how would you be encouraged? Would you be encouraged by that? Would you be uplifted by seeing how, no matter what happened to him, Paul was still saying, give God the glory. That God is the answer. God is the solution. I think that would really encourage. Maybe that's what we need to be, that light like that, so that when people might see that even, yes, we go through difficult times, but it's how God takes care of us. For we who are alive are always being given over death for Jesus' sake, so that the life may be revealed in our mortal bodies. It comes back to that jar of clay. That jar of clay again. That it's not what's on the outside that's our physical life that we're dealing with, but how we're dealing with Jesus in our inside. His life may be revealed in our brokenness, so that he can have the life that he's intended to in us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 through 18, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we're wasting away. Well, again, remember the persecutions, the sufferings that Paul went through, but remember the difficulties physically that we go through in our lives here today. I've known people, it seems like, that they never have had any really physical problems, that they have just continued on. And then I remember my dad. I've had two hip replacements. My dad had four hip replacements because the hip replacement wore out. Because you see, when they did hip replacements for him, they did it with wires. And the wire would break, and it would stick into his legs and cause him more pain than ever, and they'd have to go in and completely redo it again. And then as Dad got older, by the way, my dad, I mean, he kept on going. Dad was not a complainer. One time when Dad was probably about 89 or so, they were living in Pierce, South Dakota, where my oldest sister lived, and they had a place out of town, and they had some fence. I went there to visit my sister and my parents from Wisconsin, where we were living at the time, and Dad was building fence. My dad was building fence at 89 years old. He had both hips. He said he wouldn't get any more hip surgeries. No more hip surgeries. But he was doing it because he wanted to stay active. He wanted to help my sister and show his appreciation for all that she did for him. And she didn't ask him to. She probably told him not to do it. But you see, that's what Paul was doing. Paul says, I'm keeping on going. And he told me, don't lose heart. Seeing my dad do that lifted me up and encouraged me to keep on going. Because if he could do that, my goodness, what's my life? Was so simple compared to that. Let's shine our lights. Let's not lose heart when these things get hard, but let's keep going for God. Yet inwardly, we're being renewed day by day. Day by day, God renews us. He builds us up. He makes us stronger prayer warriors. He helps us to see the power of God, his power, over the power of the devil. He holds us up and carries us on. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. What we have coming, what we have in Christ now, and what we have coming, so much far outweighs the balance of these things. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 6 through 8, as we continue, 16 through 18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen. And we're talking about faith again. Remember, faith, walking by faith and not by sight, right? For we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. We have a different perspective on life than anyone else. Because we can see beyond the mortal. We can see beyond what this life has and where it's taking us. We can see to the golden gates, if you will. For what is seen is temporary. And boy, do we know that, right? We know that this life is temporary. Maybe not just our bodies, but we see things wearing down all over the place. If you have an older car or had an older car, and it just wears out. After a while, no matter what you do, no matter how many times you fix it, it wears out. The things that are physical are wearing out. I have a t-shirt at home that probably has a dozen holes in it. Why do I keep it? Because it's comfortable. But it's wearing out. And I don't wear it out any place, so you're never going to see me wearing it. But sometimes I throw it on just because it's comfortable. Things wear out. The things that we see is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Eternal will not wear out. Amen. It's never going to fade. It's never going to go away. No tears in heaven. We sing that song, but that's what Revelation says. No tears in heaven. God is going to be our light. He is going to be there always for us. We'll be in his presence. We'll walk the golden streets. We will have the trees bearing fruit along the river of life 12 months out of the year. I don't know if there's going to be months, but you know what I mean? All the time. How could there be months when there's no night? When there's there's a lot of these things that are trying to figure out still. In 2 Corinthians 4, 6 through 10. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. Now look how Paul commends himself here. In great endurance, in troubles, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger. Well, that's some way to pat yourself on the back and say, look what I'm doing. No, that's not what he was doing. We commend ourselves in that impurity. But then he goes from that to this. To purity, understanding, patience, kindness in the Holy Spirit, and sincere love. Paul says, those things, living through them and trusting God with them, helps me to have these things. And in truthful speech, in the power of God, with weapons on the right hand and in the left. In other words, you want power? You want to have the tools to fight the devil? Well, you've got the power in the right hand and the left, the power of God, and we have and we live in this way. Through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as imposters. Again, Paul goes on and starts talking about the good and the bad. Paul had a lot of people that followed him. Many people became Christians. Many churches were established. But there were still people that were putting him down. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. How? Why can you be sorrowful and rejoice? You're sorrowful for those that are lost. You're sorrowful for the struggles you face, maybe. But you rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That's what Paul says in Philippians 4:4. We always rejoice in him. Poor, yet making many rich. Paul, we know, was probably not a rich man by any means. Maybe because he gave all away that he had. He gave all his life away. Having nothing, yet possessing everything. See, we possess the things that are matter, the things that are important. This is how we live. This is our purpose. This is how we focus in life. We are here, therefore, to prepare us for heaven. All of this, we prepare for heaven so that we can become more like God, more like Christ, so that we can live in such a way that when eternity does come to us, we'll be ready to face it. We'll be ready to live in it, to get to heaven, to prepare for heaven, and to get to heaven, to take as many with us as possible, many with us as we possibly can. Paul says, he did all these things so that he might win some. Paul didn't win them all. Sometimes it's hard to realize that and to think about that. My young brother in Christ, Artur, and his wife, Elisa, celebrating their first year anniversary today. And also Ukraine is celebrating Independence Day. August 24th was their Independence Day. And you see, Artur has been, has been struggling with teaching some people and trying to get them to come to Christ and in a good way, an honest way, and seeing some of them turn away. Did any turn away from Jesus? Yes. Did any turn away from Peter? We see 3,000 baptized, but there probably were tens of thousands of people that may have heard that sermon. We don't know, even though 3,000 were baptized. Many did not. We know that many turned away from Christ, as he taught them, and many turned to him, of course, too. But the thing is that our job is to keep teaching the word, keep sharing the message, so it can be possible for some to be saved. So are you ready for heaven? That's the key that we have to ask ourselves. If this life is to get ready for heaven, are you ready for heaven? Are you living in Jesus today? Because when we are in Christ, then we know that we are walking with him. Are you prepared for heaven? Living in heaven, looking for heaven, prepared for heaven. What do you do to prepare the best that you can do to prepare for what you're going to do? You study, you practice, you train, you live, become more and grow. Jesus came to take you and I home. He came so that we would have eternal life. Won't you come to him now as together we stand and sing.
Oh, do not let the word depart, and close thine eyes against the light. For sinner heart and not thy heart, be saved, oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Will thou be saved? Then why not tonight? Tomorrow sun may never rise to bless thy long deluded sight. This is the time, oh, then be wise, be saved, oh.
Would you please be seated? The Lord's Supper has been left prepared for anyone that did not have opportunity to partake of it already. We're going to sing the song, Glory to His Name. This is song number 160 in our hymn books. Glory to this name. After this song, can I get a show of hands for anyone that will need to partake of the communion?
The cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. I am so from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within, there at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Oh, precious fountain that saves from sin. I am so glad I am entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to
Would you bow with me as we go to God in prayer? Our Creator, our Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful, Father, for your mercy, for your love for mankind, and that you sent Jesus from your side, Father, to come down and live as a man, to show mankind the right ways in which to live. And at the end of his perfect ministry, Father, he fulfilled your greatest of commands. He separated himself and died there on the cross all alone on behalf of our sins. He endured the suffering, the shame, the humiliation, the pain, all, Father, for our benefit. So we, as servants of yours, those who have made contact with that saving grace, that blood that redeems man, Father, we look to commune in honor of Jesus, your Son, to show our appreciation and love in return to you, Father. Bless your church now and always as we commune. Help us, Father, to see in it that relationship that was granted back to us through mercy and compassion. Bless your church as we commune. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We continue in prayer, dear Heavenly Father, seeing our sins have separated us from you and that there is no hope of return without a willing sacrifice. And Jesus became that sacrifice when he gave his blood on the cross, when he died at the hands of men. He was abused and left there to die in that shameful state. Father, he willingly endured that, giving his blood freely for its cleansing power, Father, makes us righteous, makes us pure, makes us whole, makes us complete, makes us perfect. Father, we thank you as redeemed believers, those who have that eternal hope, Father, to live with you someday, only because you've made us fit for eternity. Thank you for Jesus, your Son. Bless your church as we commune together with this giving of the wine. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Been a blessing for us to be here together tonight. For many of us, we've been blessed with opportunity to gather together twice on this Lord's Day, and we look forward to coming together on Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. If you're listening to us on the radio broadcast, we invite you to attend as well, and maybe you can enjoy the same blessings that we have this hour. And we look forward to seeing you if you're here with us and you're planning to be back. We pray that you're blessed between now and then. And for a lot of our members, they can't be with us on a regular basis. So we want to encourage them. We want to make sure they know that they're important to us and that we're praying for their well-being and looking for their return. In a moment, we're going to be dismissed with a prayer. We want to continue to pray for those who are shut in. We want to pray for those that are struggling in some different ways physically. and just doing our best to lift their spirits. Is there anything further that we need to make known? If not, then we will bow to God in prayer.
Let's pray. Almighty, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the things that we have. We most thank you for sending your Son to the cross to die for our sins. Heavenly Father, be with the sick that's been mentioned here today, especially Naoma and Sue and Pearl. Be with all of those. Heavenly Father, be with those that aren't here, that aren't sick. Be with those that just don't show up anymore. And we pray that somehow you'll touch their hearts and pull them back this direction. And maybe there's something that we can do to help encourage them to come back. Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with all the missionaries overseas. A lot of them put themselves in harm's way. And we just pray that you keep them safe and that they're able to keep getting the word out to those who otherwise wouldn't have anything. Be with each and every one of us that's here. Bring us back at the next appointed time. And these things we ask in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.